Chapter 22, The Bestowing Virtue. Segment 1. When Zarathustra had taken leave of the town to which his heart was attached, the name of which is the Pied Cow, there followed him many people who called themselves his disciples and kept him company. Thus came they to a crossroad. Then Zarathustra told them that he now wanted to go alone, for he was fond of going alone. His disciples, however, presented him at his departure with a staff, on the golden handle of which a serpent twined round the sun. Zarathustra rejoiced on account of the staff, and supported himself thereon. Then spoke he thus to his disciples, "Tell me, pray, how came gold to the highest value? Because it is uncommon, and unprofiting, and beaming, and soft in luster. It always bestows itself. Only an image of the highest virtue came gold to the highest value. Gold-like beams the glance of the bestower. Gold-luster makes peace between moon and sun. Uncommon is the highest virtue, and unprofiting. Beaming is it, and soft of luster. A bestowing virtue is the highest virtue. Verily I divine you well, my disciples. You strive like me for the bestowing virtue. What should you have in common with cats and wolves? It is your thirst to become sacrifices and gifts yourselves, and therefore have you the thirst to accumulate all riches in your soul. Insatiably strives your soul for treasures and jewels, because your virtue is insatiable in desiring to bestow. You constrain all things to flow towards you and into you, so that they shall flow back again out of your fountain as the gifts of your love. Verily, an appropriator of all values must such bestowing love become. But healthy and holy call I this selfishness. Another selfishness is there, an all too poor and hungry kind, which would always steal, the selfishness of the sick, the sickly selfishness. With the eye of a thief, it looks upon all that is lustrous. With the craving of hunger, it measures him who has abundance. And ever does it prowl round the tables of bestowers. Sickness speaks in such craving and invisible degeneration. Of a sickly body speaks the larcenous craving of this selfishness. Tell me, my brother, what do you think bad and worst of all? Is it not degeneration? And we always suspect degeneration when the bestowing soul is lacking. Upward goes our course from genera on to supergenera. But a horror to us is a degenerating sense, which says, all for myself. Upward soars our sense. Thus it is a simile of our body, a simile of an elevation. Such similes of elevation are the names of the virtues. Thus goes the body through history, a becomer and fighter. And the spirit, what is it to the body? Its fights and victories herald its companion and echo. Similes are all names of good and evil. They do not speak out, they only hint. A fool who seeks knowledge from them. Give heed, my brethren, to every hour when your spirit would speak in similes. There is the origin of your virtue. Elevated is then your body and raised up. With its delight, enraptures it the spirit, so that it becomes creator and valuer and lover and everything's benefactor. When your heart overflows broad and full like the river, a blessing and a danger to the lowlanders, there is the origin of your virtue. When you are exalted above praise and blame, and your will would command all things as a loving one's will, there is the origin of your virtue. When you despise pleasant things and the effeminate couch, and cannot couch far enough from the effeminate, there is the origin of your virtue. When you are willers of one will, and when that change of every need is needful to you, there is the origin of your virtue. Verily, a new good and evil is it. Verily, a new deep murmuring, and the voice of a new fountain. Power is it, this new virtue. A ruling thought is it, and around it a subtle soul. A golden sun with the serpent of knowledge around it. Segment 2. Here paused Zarathustra a while, and looked lovingly on his disciples. Then he continued to speak thus, and his voice had changed. Remain true to the earth, my brethren, with the power of your virtue. Let your bestowing love and your knowledge be devoted to be the meaning of the earth. Thus do I pray and conjure you. Let it not fly away from the earthly and beat against eternal walls with its wings. Ah, there has always been so much flown away virtue. Lead, like me, the flown away virtue back to the earth, yea, back to body and life, that it may give to the earth its meaning, a human meaning. 100 times hitherto has spirit as well as virtue flown away in blunder. Alas, in our body dwells still all this delusion and blundering. Body and will has it there become. 100 times hitherto has spirit as well as virtue attempted and erred. Yea, an attempt has man been. Alas, much ignorance and error has become embodied in us. Not only the rationality of millenniums, also their madness breaks out in us. Dangerous is it to be an heir. Still fight we step by step with the giant chance, and over all mankind has hitherto ruled nonsense, the lack of sense. Let your spirit and your virtue be devoted to the sense of the earth. My brethren, let the value of everything be determined anew by you. Therefore shall you be fighters. Therefore shall you be creators. Intelligently does the body purify itself. Attempting with intelligence, it exalts itself. To the discerners, all impulses sanctify themselves. To the exalted, the soul becomes joyful. Physician, heal yourself. Then you will also heal your patient. Let it be his best cure to see with his eyes him who makes himself whole. 1,000 paths are there which have never yet been trodden, 1,000 salubrities and hidden islands of life. Exhausted and undiscovered is still man and man's world. Awake and hearken, you lonesome ones. From the future comes winds with stealthy pinions, and to fine ears good tidings are proclaimed. You lonesome ones of today, you seceding ones, you shall one day be a people. Out of you who have chosen yourselves shall a chosen people arise, and out of it the Superman. Verily, a place of healing shall the earth become, and already is a new odor diffused around it, a salvation-bringing odor, and a new hope. Segment 3. When Zarathustra had spoken these words, he paused, like one who had not said his last word, and long did he balance the staff doubtfully in his hand. At last he spoke thus, and his voice had changed. I now go alone, my disciples. You also now go away, and alone. So will I have it. Verily I advise you, depart from me, and guard yourself against Zarathustra. And better still, be ashamed of him. Perhaps he has deceived you. The man of knowledge must be able not only to love his enemies, but also to hate his friends. One requites a teacher badly if one remain merely a scholar. And why will you not pluck at my wreath? You venerate me, but what if your veneration should someday collapse? Take heed, lest a statue crush you. You say you believe in Zarathustra, but of what account is Zarathustra? You are my believers, but of what account are all believers? You had not yet sought yourself, then did you find me. So do all believers. Therefore, all belief is of so little account. Now do I bind you, lose me, and find yourselves. And only when you have all denied me will I return to you. Verily, with other eyes, my brethren, shall I then seek my lost ones. With another love shall I then love you. And once again shall you have become friends to me and children of one hope. Then will I be with you for the third time to celebrate the great noontide with you. And it is the great noontide, when man is in the middle of his course between animal and Superman, and celebrates his advance to the evenings as his highest hope, for it is the advance to a new morning. At such will the downgoer bless himself, that he should be an overgoer, and the sun of his knowledge will be at noontide. Dead are all the gods. Now do we desire the Superman to live. Let this be our final will at the great noontide. Thus spoke Zarathustra.